I was involved in a conversation with a friend, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And in the course of our conversation, we were talking about worship renewal and so forth. And he referred to a couple of statistics. And I'm not the kind of guy that reads many statistics. That's not the world wherein I live. I'm way more of a right-brained kind of guy. I look at the pictures more than read the numbers and graphs. But he referred to a couple of statistics that just kind of, I thought surely he was mistaken. This was from George Barna in 1996 in a book called The Index of Leading, was it Index of Leading Worship, Leading Christian or Spiritual Indicators, Index of Leading. If you Google, if you put that into Amazon, you would find the book. But it was published in 96, and it was a kind of a recap of what was going on in the church in the U.S. in 1996. And here were the two statistics. I'm stumbling over the same syllables Jim did. This microphone is contagious. The two statistics that caught my attention, and I thought he must be wrong about. The first one, I had no problem with. That by far the majority of believers in the U.S. believe that the number one priority for the church, the number one reason for the church, and I'm paraphrasing this, and so I may not get it specifically right, but you'll get the drift. The number one reason for the church, purpose for the church, is to create a space, an opportunity, an occasion for facilitating worship. So most of us, wherever we land in Phyllis Tickle's quadrilateral from her book, whatever our theological persuasion, our denominational affiliation, most of us believe, by far most of us believe, that the number one purpose for the church is worship. I had no problem with that one. That made sense to me. I'm the chaplain at the Institute for Worship Studies. Of course, it appealed to my predilections. The second one, I thought he had to be mistaken. That 71% of worshipers, 71% of the majority in their surveys who answered that worship is the primary purpose of the church, 71% of those said that they had never had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ in a worship service. No wonder church attendance is on the ebb rather than the flow. Now, I realize that's 1996, but I read another statistic just a few days ago that to backtrack for a second, when he said that, I knew he had to be wrong. I got him to restate the 71% thing. And my wife, Janet, was headed over to the public library that day. And I said, Janet, look for this book, Leading Indicators of Christian Life, spiritual Index of Leading Spiritual Indicators. And I said, if they don't have it, go ahead and give them the $5 and get them to do an interlibrary loan, which she did. And so I had the book within a couple of days, and I looked it up, and sure enough, it was there. Well, 13 years have gone by since that statistic was quantified and recorded. But what's happened in the interim is that church attendance continues to decline. Even churches, denominations, and fellowships of churches that were growing at that stage are now declining. The other statistic that I read just a few days ago is that, you know, we hear a lot about church growth and church planting. I go to a fellowship, a trans-denominational pastor's luncheon with pastors of all different denominational persuasions, and a whole bunch of these guys are church planters. Various ones of them have moved to the Nashville or Franklin area to plant churches. You hear a lot about church planting these days, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that it's happening. But the other statistic that I read is that for every church that's planted or opened, 3 to 4 close in that same year. So however vigorously we're planting churches, we're losing ground. couple that with the fact of the rising impact of very articulate, highly intelligent atheists like Dawkins and Hitchens, and the most virulent of all, Sam Harris, and they are arguing persuasively to the culture that not only should the church not matter, it shouldn't exist. Persuasive arguments in the marketplace against the church, people who believe and people who want to believe going to church, and 71% of them meeting disillusionment. Many of them after years and years of faithful attendance. Guys, worship renewal is not an option. It's not an option on a menu of ways we might go with our church's worship. Worship renewal is an emergency call to action. We're at war. The kingdom of darkness is waging war on the church. It's waging war on the church by helping us cling to old wineskins, by helping us cling to the way that we've always done it. And the key to fixing it, I believe, we're in such a wonderful, sweet spot of learning what to do to run to the aid, to run to the battle, to run to the front lines. Jeremiah called for it early on. He didn't say, let's do the great new thing, the big new idea. He said, stand in the ancient ways and ask for the old paths. That's where the way is, the way to life. John wrote to the church at Ephesus in the Revelation to remember, repent, and return. And Kent was so, I love Kent's postings of the Weber quote of the week. This week we got the definition of what ancient future worship is, but a week or two ago I think we saw the one that it's never about reinventing the church. And ancient future worship calls us to look back to the past. The road to the future runs through the past. And if we don't come back, as Jeremiah called us to the ancient paths, to the old ways, and reclaim them in vibrant, vital, dynamic ways in our time, then we're going to lose more of the battle in our era. It's true, the victory will eventually be won, but we could lose more ground in our era before it's eventually won if we don't respond to the call. It has to do with the simplest of things, coming back to the core concepts of ancient future faith, of worshiping the triune God, not getting our liturgical formulas specifically correct. Yeah, we want authenticity, we want right doctrine, we want to be in sync with the truth, the eternal truths of the ages. But it has to do with coming back and connecting with those realities, as Tertullian did by talking about the musical triad and helping people get the Trinity. The contemporary Jeremy Begbie does the same thing. As Patrick did in Ireland of old by picking a three-leaf clover to help people get what three yet one really might look like. An imperfect picture, but it helps fire the imagination. As Wesley, and I don't know what the context was that went into Sermon 55 or whatever it is, perhaps he was sitting with some colleagues around in a room late one evening. There was no electricity in those days. There must have been a three-wicked candelabra nearby. And he said, consider, there are three candles, but there's only one light. There are three parts of this, but only one real leaf off the plant. There are three notes struck, but you only hear one sound. We have to revisit these ancient things and fall in love with them and figure out how to dynamically and vitally reclaim them in our era, in our language, and begin to discover even new, imperfect pictures, but ones that'll capture the imagination, that'll share the reality. We have to revisit the ancient divine narrative, the eternal narrative of creation, incarnation, and recreation. All you have to do is look at any of the Eucharistic prayers in virtually any prayer book of any Orthodox denomination, and the story is told in a handful of words. And learn to retell it, as Justin wrote in the second century. Learn to give thanks and to rehearse that divine narrative according to your ability, in your own words, telling that old story. We have to. We are on a mission. I've thought of IWS as a calling. I've thought of it as an unbelievable blessing, luxury, source of spiritual growth. I've never before hearing the 71% alarm go off. I'd not thought of it as a mission. And we are on a mission. The world is desperate for what we're learning, what we're studying, and what we have to rediscover and be re-energized by the Holy Spirit. We have to have another visitation of the Holy Spirit to fill us with energy and imagination of how to retell this story, to be reclaimed by the story ourselves, to reclaim that story in our own lives, and to share it with our world so that the 71% statistic can begin to be reversed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.